Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes to this church. If we had time, we'd go through the entire book of 1 Thessalonians. He writes to them in chapter number 1, and he talks about their great love and their great faith. And then when you come down to the 5th chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, you find that he says that you have no need that I write unto you concerning the coming of Christ. I paraphrase that. He said, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. The Bible says, when men shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When you and I recognize that Jesus Christ shall return, in the book of Revelation chapter number 22, the Bible says in the last verse, even so come Lord Jesus. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so when Paul writes to these folks at Thessalonica, there is a particular problem. You and I know from Acts 17, 30 and 31, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, for He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world. There is a day in which Christ shall come again. The apostles of the church at Thessalonica had emphasized to them the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he had emphasized it so much that they had come to the conclusion that it was something that was going to take place very, very soon. As a matter of fact, if you'd driven down the highway years ago, you'd see on the top of a barn painted the words, Jesus is coming soon. Well, that could have been in the time of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as Paul writes to them and tells them the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That they did not know when the Lord would come, but their attitude and their mind was, He's going to come soon. So you know what they did? They quit their jobs. And they began to be busybodies. And Paul instructed them not to be busybodies in other men's matters. Paul instructed them to go to work, get yourself a job, and do something. And so what he is saying to them, that your life as a child of God must be undergirded, and it must have a foundation, and it must stand upon something. And so in the very last few verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the apostle gives what I have titled seven columns of the Christian life. You and I obey the gospel by faith in Jesus as the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You and I understand that the Bible teaches us that we, upon that faith in Christ, change our lives by repentance. I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible teaches us that we confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Acts chapter number 8 and Romans 10, 9 and 10 and Matthew 10, 32 and 33. The Bible tells in Romans, with a heart a man believeth the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A man is baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. 1 Peter 3:21, the like here wherein the baptism doth also now save us. So we come up out of that watery grave as a child of God. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a goal, and that is to go to heaven. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible speaks of those who had made shipwreck out of the faith. The Bible tells us about Demas. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, when after they have escaped the pollution of the world by a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and become again entangled therein, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So you and I must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that obeying the gospel of Christ, but then on top of that, we must have these columns that undergird that obedience to the gospel and make us strong and make us dedicated and make us determined and make us loyal to the kingdom of God every day that we live. Will you allow me to look at that? There are seven things, I believe, that Paul writes about in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22. When you and I look at these seven things, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that they will help us as children of God. You and I are bombarded every day, almost every hour of the day, with all that is going on in our world and our society. And if you and I focus on it, I'm going to tell you, my friend, you would get in the bed, pull a cover up over your head, and never get out again. But you and I must recognize that as children of God, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Matthew 28, the Bible said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Seven columns that will help us. Number one, the Bible says to rejoice evermore. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we need to rejoice. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Romans 12, in verse number 15, the Bible said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so what do? We rejoice. The Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible teaches us again, ladies and gentlemen, that we are to rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the Bible says that we rejoiceth in truth. We do not rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in truth. In the book of Luke chapter number 12, I love this passage of Scripture. The disciples had gone out on a limited commission. Jesus had sent them out, and He said, go two by two, don't take anything with you. And so these disciples go out, and they begin to teach and to preach, and lo and behold, they come back. They say, whoa! This is great. I mean, even the spirits are subject to us. And man, they're all excited about what they've been doing. But Jesus said, now don't be excited. He's not saying you can't. He's just simply saying, don't let that be the overriding thing. Do not be excited about this, but be excited. And again, I paraphrase. He said, you be excited because your name is written. You rejoice. That's what He said. You rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at all the turmoil that is around us, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine that someone goes off to work never to return again? This happens every day with an automobile accident or other things that happen in our life. But if you and I can just grasp, ladies and gentlemen, the joy of being a child of God. Back when we were growing up, some of us, we had the Russians are going to kill us. The atomic bomb. Did y'all ever do any of them where you had these dry run, they'd ring a bell and man, you'd almost hear those airplanes going over and you got these bomb threats. And I never could understand why getting under the desk would help anything. I don't know. But, you had all the Russians are coming. They're going to kill us and they're going to bomb us. Well, I heard one fellow say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because if they come and bomb us, I'll just go on and be with the Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't that what Paul said? He said, I am in a strait between two things, whether to stay here, that would be profitable for you, but for me it would be more profitable to go on and be with the Lord. That is why there is rejoicing, ladies and gentlemen. We do not rejoice of the condition of our world. We do not rejoice of the immorality. We do not rejoice because men do not do the will of God. We rejoice because we have the Word of God and can be obedient to it, and that we're children of God, and whether we live or die, we'll be with the Lord. rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We do not have to act like we've had persimmon juice for breakfast. We have been saved from our past sins. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, there's every reason and every cause. We need to sing with enthusiasm. We need to pray with joy. We need to worship, ladies and gentlemen, in spirit and in truth, because we have been saved from our past sins. Rejoice. Number two. Somebody said, Mary, you say there's seven of those and you're just on number two. Number two, pray without ceasing. Now, do you see how these things will bolster your faith? That you and I rejoice. And number two, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You remember that Jesus said to the disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour while he prayed? Do you go with us to the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter number 26, and the Bible says that Jesus went a little farther and he prayed? When you and I read James chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed that it might not rain, and it did not rain. When you and I think about Elijah and I think about his prayer. I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about Elijah and I think about the person of prayer. What is a person of prayer? He is an individual who has the right attitude about prayer. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you and I just walk around with our head bowed all the time? Absolutely not. That you and I have this attitude. That you and I in our lives on a daily basis have the attitude with which we can pray. I think not only that, but you know, I think about Elijah. He went up on Mount Carmel to pray on this occasion. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches, for an example, you remember that Jesus said, enter into thy closet. Well, what he's simply saying is, block it out of your mind. Get this stuff out of your mind and focus on your prayer. If we had time, we'd talk about Acts 12 and the focus of the prayer of the church when they prayed for Peter that he'd get out of prayer. And he got out. So you see that person of prayer in Elijah. You see that passion that he had. You see not only that, but he had a place. He went to Mount Carmel. And ladies and gentlemen, if you focus on that prayer in 1 Kings 18, you will see the persistence of that. Pray without ceasing. When you and I look at our faith and we look at our world and we endeavor to undergird that, ladies and gentlemen, we undergird it with rejoicing. We undergird it with prayer. Now, number three is, we undergird it with thanksgiving. One of the columns that holds up the Christian life is a heart of thanksgiving. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The Bible says for us in Philippians chapter 4, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, what does He do for us? Have prayer of thanksgiving. Go back to Luke chapter number 17. Do you remember that God blesses us, ladies and gentlemen? In Matthew 28:11-30, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, give you rest. We have problems in life. And sometimes we let those problems overwhelm us to the point that we fail to see the blessings and the thankfulness of what these blessings have meant to us. To those of us who are His children, we look at our problems and our difficulties and our turmoil and we think, well, this is the end of it. No, God may be shaking me up. Wake up. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter. I mean, this world, whatever the turmoil may be, I'm going to tell you, you and I cannot outlast the blessings that God has given to us. let us be thankful for those blessings. Number four, quench not the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, quench not the Spirit. If you study that passage of Scripture, you're going to find a relationship to this. You're going to find the relationship to 2 Peter 2:20-22. If after they've escaped the pollution of the world, by knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, become again entangled therein, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. When you study that verse of Scripture, it will refer you to 2 Peter. And it's simply saying, do not kill the spirituality that you have in your life. It will refer you to Hebrews chapter number 6. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter, let us go on, verse number 1, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of these first principles and so forth. And then he says that it is impossible to renew some. Why? When they have tasted of the heavenly gift. That verse will also refer you to Matthew chapter 12 and the sin against the Holy Spirit. Let me just put it to you in South Georgia terms. Don't quit serving the Lord. Quench not the Spirit. Now, go to that next one. And that Bible says, despise not prophesy. Column number 1, rejoice. Column number 2, pray. Column number 3, thankfulness. Column number 4, quench not the Spirit. Column number 5, despise not prophesying. You know what that just says? Look, the word prophesying sometimes refers to teaching. Don't despise the teaching. Take your Bibles. I want you to read something with me. Take your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Chapter number 10. I want you to go down to verse... Everybody knows verse 25. Forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, so forth. But that's not what I want you to look at. I want you to go to verse number 28 of Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Old Testament law despised Moses' law. Now look at verse number 30. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. What is the blood of the covenant? The Word of God. You count it an unholy thing? Despise not prophesying? Count the Word of God as unholy? He says, listen, if a man died with two or three witnesses who despised the law of Moses, what do you think is going to take place for those who despise the Word of God? Number 6. The Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Isn't it interesting that these folks are all concerned about how many calories are in a can of beans, but their mind is completely closed to the filth and the trash that goes into the mind of man that's belched out on a television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Why don't they put a disclaimer? Oh, they've got them on cigarettes. They'll kill you. Maybe we need to put a disclaimer on television that'll damn your soul. Somebody said, you against TV? No. I'm against the filth and trash that comes out of it. If we're going to prove what are the calories in a can of beans, then I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is every doctrine out there right? The Bible says prove all things. Somebody comes along and tells you something. 1 John 4 verse 1, believe not every spirit, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, where they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Number 7. The Bible says, 7th column, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now, my friend, it doesn't take a PhD to understand that. You and I can understand that the Bible teaches us as God's children, be careful where you go and who you go with. Now, isn't that simple? Be careful where you go and with whom you go. The Bible says evil communications, that's associations, evil communications corrupt good morals. Seven columns of the Christian life. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we could put it another way. There are so many ways you can put this. 2 Peter 1, 10, or 5 through 10, besides just giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue, knowledge, and so forth. It's basically the same thing, just in different language. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he gives the works of the Spirit. Same thing. Different way. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, say to us, here are columns that will hold up your Christian faith. Now watch this. You watch a Christian begin to miss service. He stops doing things that ought to be done. I'll guarantee you, if you'll look in his life, there'll be one or two or three or four of these seven things that are missing. And his faith begins to crumble because the columns are gone. When Samson brought down the house, he did it by destroying the columns that held up the amphitheater. When Satan wants to bring down your spiritual house, he'll wrap his arms around the columns and crush them and cause your faith crumble.